And this was the reality of man. There was a time that we didn't even exist. We weren't even worthy of mention. And then when Allah created us, and we came into existence, He created us from the most, the cheapest, the lowest, and the most insignificant thing there could be. The very mitti, the very earth that we trample upon. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ مِنْ حَمَعٍ مَسْنُونَ. The very mitti that we walk upon and trample upon, this is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from. And then He created us from a liquid, a drop of fluid, a filthy drop of liquid. Such a liquid that when it is discharged, it is compulsory upon every human being to take a bath, wash his mouth, wash his nose, and every inch of his body. Such liquid that if it was to touch your clothes and your body, according to some fuqaha, your body and your clothes would become impure. This is the reality of man. And this is what we were created from. And the reason Allah did this was so that we never forget who we are, what we are, and where we came from. And then He changed this liquid, this fluid, into a clot of blood. And then He changed this clot of blood into a lump of flesh. This is the time when we existed. And now we have become a thing in which a name was given to us. And even in this stage, look at the despicable condition that we were in. We could not see. We could not hear. We could not smell. We could not touch. We could not feel. We could not think. We couldn't grasp. We knew nothing. Allah gave us, in reality, He gave us death before He gave us life. He gave us weakness before He gave us strength. He gave us ignorance before He gave us knowledge. He gave us deafness before He gave us hearing. He gave us blindness before He gave us sight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us ignorance before He gave us knowledge. He gave us no power before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us power. This was our first stage. And this is what the Quran refers to. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. As Imam Ghazali says, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ. This is the first stage. And how truthful the Quran is. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Doesn't mankind see how we created him from a dirty drop of fluid, and all of a sudden the guy thinks he's it? The second stage. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. This is the stage when the Almighty Allah gave this human everything. Blessings, our lives will come to an end and we will not be able. When تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You will never be able to count the blessings of Allah. And the reason Allah gave us all this was so that we recognize, okay, look at what we were. We were nothing. We couldn't see, we couldn't feel, we couldn't touch, we couldn't hear, we couldn't think, we knew nothing. And now look, He's given us everything. Look at the hands that He's given us, the eyes that He's given us, the ears that He's given us, the tongue, the teeth. Greatness surely belongs to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even in this stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us everything, in reality we had nothing. In reality we had nothing. Why? Because a little vein is in pain. One little vein is in pain. A thorn is in your foot. And the reality is, it brings your cool down to his knees and tears are flowing from his eyes. A fly takes something from you. Allahu Akbar, look at our size. We've got the body, we've got everything. We've got the height, we've got the looks, we've got the touch. A little fly comes up to you and it takes something away and you will not be able to get it back from that fly. A bug enters your nose or enters your ears and the big guy will come tumbling down onto his knees and there will be no tomorrow. This is the reality of man in his prime, where Allah has given him everything. This is his reality, that he cannot take something back from a fly. And his ending, the Quran says, ثُمَّ أَمَاتُهُ فَأَكْبَرَهُ. That when man is dead, what remains of man when man is no more? When he's dead. It is like the first stage. He can no longer see. He can no longer hear. He can no longer touch. He can no longer speak. He can no longer feel. He can no longer think. All that remains is a body. Such a body that if it was left for a few days and it was not buried, it would stink so much that his own flesh and blood, the very children that his wife has given birth to, his own flesh and blood, they will not touch this body. And if we were able to see this sinful person in the fire of hell on the day of judgment, and see his ugly face and the smell coming from him, we would die because of the stench and the smell. This is the reality of man. أولك نطفة مذرة وآخرك جيفة كذرة وأنت بين ذلك تحمل العذرة. He sums it up in three dialogues. The beginning, a dirty liquid. Your ending, a smelly corpse. And in between all this, this life that you live, you carry filth. Where do you carry filth? You carry filth in your intestines. Urine inside your bladder. Blood on your clothes. Blood inside your veins, I mean. Mucus inside your nose. Saliva inside your mouth. Dirt inside your ears. And every day, 2-3 times a day, you discharge filth, and then you clean it and wash it with your own hands. This is the reality of man. This is his beginning, this is his middle, and this is his end. When we have realized the reality of our master, and now we have realized the reality of our creator. Now this brings me to the question that I'd like to pose to you, and the reason that I've come today. When this is our reality, the reality of our creator, and this is our reality, and we know this, then where has all of a sudden this I feeling come from? The me, myself feeling. The it syndrome. The galore. The pride. The arrogance. The shame. The show. The fame. The splendor. The glory. The full of it syndrome. When this is our reality, where's bigness all of a sudden come from? In a city, you're walking in the street, and there are all these little kids playing around. Walk through them and look at a 7-year-old. Just stare at him. You're looking at this 7-year-old playing, and he's seeing you do it, and he turns around and says, "What are you looking at?" All of a sudden you're gobsmacked. You're thinking, surely this guy can't be talking to me. Me? And this 7-year-old turns around and says, "Yeah, you. What are you looking at?" If this is a 7-year-old, he's suffering from this it feeling and it syndrome. And this guy possesses nothing. What does he have? What does a 7-year-old have that will give him that big and it feeling? He doesn't possess that posh car or the clothes to go with. He possesses nothing. Yet this is the reality, and it's becoming the reality of the 6, the 7, and the 8-year-olds. What to say about you and I who possess everything? The very illness that shaitan suffered from. You're too right, I'm going to bow down before him. What does the Quran say? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. Oh Allah, you're telling me to bow down before him? When you created him from mitti, from clay, and you created me from fire, you know fire is far greater than mitti. Something that is high doesn't bow down before something that's low. Too right, I'm going to bow down before him. One little mistake, and you know who Iblis was. And you know, prior to where he went wrong, what he did for the Almighty Allah, and how he served from the Almighty Allah. One little mistake, from one of the biggest, he became the lowest of all. And we suffer from this problem without us even realizing that we suffer from this. And I will give you examples. And you will see this in every aspect of our daily life. You'll see this in our clothes. You will see this in our cars. You will see it and hear it in the big timing talk. The walk. Just stand on the street and you watch the walk. It does the talk and you know it. You see it in our handshakes. The Rastafarian handshake. Like this. And it goes somewhere like this. Like this. Like that. And it finishes up with a yeah. It gives you that bad feeling. I'm sure you know what I'm on about. Because if I know what it's all about, you definitely know what it's all about. It gives you that bad feeling. And that's the word that you use. That's bad. And that this bad is the thing that I'm talking about. The pride and the feeling. Let me give you a few examples. A few examples that you'll be able to relate to. Because if I see this happening, I'm sure that you also see this happening. Typical Friday night. And it's the holiest of nights. And you know that it's the holiest of night. Youngster 17, 18, 19, 20 year old, whatever. He's got other things planned. Friday night. He's worked hard. He's got a few pounds in his pocket. And he's going to blow this. Clubbing. Pubbing. So he's preparing himself. He hasn't taken a bath for Juma. That's out of the question. Friday night, he takes a bath. He's come back from work. And he takes a bath. And this is what he lives for. And he takes out these clothes from his drawer, whatever. And he's taking a shower. And then he stands before that large mirror, which is about as big as him. And then he looks at himself. And he likes what he sees. Isn't it? 5 minutes, he'll just look at himself. Yeah, this is me. I'm the man. Everybody does it. And then he'll take out these clothes, which he's reserved specially for this occasion. And he'll bang these clothes on. And he'll take time. He'll make sure there's no creases on his shirt, on his trousers, And he'll fiddle about with it, with his collars, till he feels it inside that, yeah, now I feel good. Now this is me. This will catch attention. And this is what he does. He's banged on his clothes. He leaves the house. And there's a walk that goes with this. And he'll walk that walk. And then when he meets his friends, he'll talk that talk. Everything that gives him that boost and that bigness and that it feeling. Now I'm not talking about those that like wearing good clothes. Beautiful shoes, trainers. The Prophet, peace be upon him, once mentioned that whoever possesses even a mustard seed of pride in his heart, he's got this. Allah will throw him in the fire of hell. A sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, in the rajul. Sometimes it so happens that a person likes to wear good clothes. It is human nature. Nazafa min al-Iman. He likes to wear good shoes. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, Inna Allah jameel yuhibbul jamal. That Allah is also beautiful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves beauty. I'm not talking about those people that do it with a good intention and the right reason. I'm talking about those that do it with the it syndrome and the it feeling. And I'll just relate a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to these people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي فِي حُلَّةٍ تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُهُ مُرَجِّلٌ رَأْسَهُ. But amongst the people before you, there was this guy, just like this guy, put on his clothes and it made him feel the part. And then he did his hair, every hair exactly where he wants it. And then he went walking and he walked the walk. The only difference is Allah did the talk. إِذْ خَسَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجُلُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah disliked that walk and that talk and that itness so much that Allah opened the earth and took him in, and down he will go right till the day of judgment. Majority of us suffer from this, and majority of us, especially our youngsters, we do this. Let me give you another example. The mobile phone. Again, in all these examples that I'm giving you, and I make it clear here, I'm not talking about those that I've kept them because of a need or use them for good reasons. Because everything can be used in both ways. I'm talking about those that he changes his mobile phone every 2 days. Every 2 days he's changing his mobile phone. Not because he needs a new mobile phone, but it makes him a cut above the rest. And he'll take out his mobile phone purposely. Every time he's changed it, he'll take it out purposely in front of his friends. And he'll take it out and he'll play with it. And all of a sudden his friend will say, "Wow, where have you got this from?" And he'll reply, "You know me, lads." He feels good about himself. This is what I'm referring to. I'm talking about those that they don't receive a phone call and he's walking down the main road. This is common. And all of a sudden his friends are going past. Somebody that he knows is going past, he'll take it out. And he's talking. There's nobody on the other side, isn't it? And he's talking away. It gives him that, you know, that this guy is important. You know, that big feeling. And all of a sudden, these guys have passed away. Puts it back in. I'm talking about those with all these, you know, these wild and weird tunes. Allah knows best whether some of these tunes are halal or not. Because a lot of them have got music to it. And the reason they've got them, not because they need it, again, when it rings in a crowd and it's got that Return of the Saint tune on or something, or that James Bond tune on, you know, it makes him feel good, because all of a sudden the eyes are on him and everybody's looking at him. These are the type of people I'm talking about. And all these things, there's an element of pride in it. This is the biggest fitnah in this modern age. The mobile phone and this internet. And you know, because you know why we use them. The brothers know why they use them. And the sisters know why they use them. And you know what I'm referring to. I'm not using it for that. I'm talking about the right reasons. And ishara should be sufficient here. You know why we use them. Such a fitnah is this mobile phone. That we walk in the house of Allah once a week. And even then we won't turn it off. I'm not talking about those that forget to turn it off. And nisyan, Allah forgives that. I'm talking about those that purposely won't take it off. Even those have been seen that they will leave their mobile phone on. It is time for salah, namaz has started, and his phone will ring and the guy will break his prayer. And you think, "Yeah, mashallah, he's broken his prayer, he's going to take the phone off." Go one or two steps back. He'll answer his call. The imam's in about 2 rakats, close his phone and join the namaz again. And I've seen this with my own eyes. Now this is not just being hypothetical. This might happen. It happens. And people see this. Once a week, and this is our situation. Let me give you another example, something that you'll be able to relate to. Look at all these weird colours that we get in cars today. The bright pink, yellow. What's it all about? It's to catch and attract attention. Okay, hold on guys, this is me passing, this is my car. Same thing about the number plate with the names on it. Again, I'm talking about those that do it for this reason. What's it all about? I'm talking about the systems in the car. Not those that listen to music for themselves. Even that's haram. And they pay the price on the Day of Judgment. I'm talking about those that don't just rock the car. They rock alam rock. And you know that. How could that guy understand what's being said when that mega blaster, you can hear it from 2 streets away, 100 meters away. What's that all about? It's looking for that attention. You guys, I'm going past. Let me give you another example. All our fights. What's the root cause of our fights? When you analyze a fight and see where it all started from, you'll realize there was something to do with pride at the beginning. You should have looked at a guy. What are you looking at? Before you know it, bang, you're dead. Simple as that. Let me give you another example. And this is a test for every 15, 16 year old. Your mother tells you, you go buy some nappies from the shop. Come on, mom. Me and nappies. My friends are standing out there. I can't be seen carrying nappies. Go send him. And he probably points to his other brother. And there's a fight at home. Another one. Your mum tells you, you could go on. Son, there's no toilet rolls left. We need some toilet rolls. Go buy them from the shop. Come on. Who would walk to his corner shop? Say his house is about 200 meters away. And the corner shop, and all his friends are standing there. And his mum says to him, go buy 2 packs of 48 toilet rolls. Don't take your car, walk there and bring them back. And don't buy Andrex, buy the cheap ones. Who would do that? Very few of us from amongst us will do that. Why? Because this is too low for us. We feel that we are above this. This is not for us. Yet we need the same thing for our children. We need it for ourselves. Let me give you another example. Everything that we're doing today, it's not for the sake of Allah. It's got the it feeling in it. It's for the sake of people. It's for the sake of show. Even our religious things. Janazah namaz, for example. Why do we pray janazah namaz? Not because it is an obligation on the right of the person that's passed away. Why? Because if we don't read his, nobody's going to come from his family to read ours. Or because he came to us, so we should repay that and go read his. Same thing with weddings. Why do we go? Because he came to us. If we don't go, he won't come to us. Every single thing and every aspect of our life, you will see that somewhere down the line, it's got this very illness which made the shaitan from one amongst the highest of the high, it took him to the lowest of the low. Let me just give you a few examples of what happens to big timers. Because everybody today is a big timer. Let me give you an example of Namrud. This guy, if you open the books of Tariq, this guy was a proper big timer. He wasn't one of those, okay, when he's in trouble, he'll pick up his mobile phone. He won't take on the guy one to one. He'll pick up his mobile phone, he'll ask for 20 other guys, and all 20 will come, and they will jump this one guy. Not one of those. And this guy didn't have a few mercs to his name either. If you open the books of history, this guy ruled the entire world. He was a proper big time. Imam Mujahid says, four people have ever ruled the world. Mu'minan wa kafiran. Two of these people were believers, and two of these people were non-believers. And one of those that has been mentioned in here, the believers being Sayyidina Zul Qarnayn and Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. And the non-believers being Bukhti Nasr and this Namrud. Let me just relate an incident here. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of this Namrud. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for him. The great Allama Rumi relates in his Masnawi. On one occasion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam, O Israel, did you ever really feel sudden at taking out somebody's soul? He replied, by Allah, yes. It so happened on one occasion that there was this ship sailing. You told me to break it. I broke it into pieces. And then you told me to take out everybody's soul. I took out everybody's soul. All that remained. Okay, you told me to take out everybody's soul except this woman and her child. I took out everybody's soul except for this woman and her child. And they clung onto some piece of wood. And with difficulty, the wind blew them to the shore. And I was so happy that they had made it to the other side and they had survived. Kill Allah. After this, when they got to the other side and all the difficulty they went through, you told me to take the mother's soul, leaving the child. And I did as you told me, and I took out the mother's soul, leaving the child alone. Oh Allah, you know at that time how saddened I was. And to this day, the thought of that incident saddens me. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Sayyidina Israel, now let me tell you about this child. And what I did for this child. And how I took care of his upbringing. And how I looked after the child. The child was on the shore. The waves came. And I told the waves and I ordered the waves to throw this child in a jungle full of fruit trees and springs of sweet water. The waves did this. I ordered the wind to be moderate with him. I ordered the clouds never to pour rain down on him. I ordered the sun not to directly pass over him. I ordered the lightning to stay away. I ordered the spring, the season, autumn, not to take away moderation from him. This is how I took care of his upbringing. And then there was this cheetah which gave birth. I ordered this cheetah to feed him and give this child milk. And the child grew by day, as he grew, I then ordered the jinns to teach him how to speak. And I ordered the jinns to teach him how to rule. And I kept on showering him with my countless blessings till this child was no longer in need. O Israel, do you know how this child repaid me? This is the very Namrud that when he was told to bow down before the Almighty Allah, he claimed, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Never mind, bowing down before the Almighty Allah, I am your Lord Most High. He is the one that objected on Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and asked Ibrahim, who is your Lord? And Sayyidina Ibrahim replied, as the Quran says, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet, that my Lord is the one who gives life, and my Lord is the one who gives death. The fool turned round. Ana uhyi wa umit. Okay, I also give life and I also give death. So what he did was, he took a free man and he ordered the executioner to behead him, and off came his head. And then there was a man with regards to whom the sentence of death had been passed. He ordered the executioner to behead him, and he was beheaded. He said, look, I've given life and I've given death. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, okay. And he went for the kill, knowing that this guy is a proper fool. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِ بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِكِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Allah brings the sun from the east, you bring it from the west. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْدِي الْكَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And his lips were sealed. When one suffers from this illness, then this person becomes blind. He cannot see anything other than himself. I mean, just look at this guy. He's ruling the entire world. And yet he was such a fool that the Mufassirin write under the verse of the Quran, وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ, that he took some eagles when they were young. And he fed them with meat till they became nice and big and fat. And then he took some rope and he tied it to their feet. And he took a box and he tied it to this box. And then he put some guy inside this. And he says, go and see if you can see the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And it doesn't come to an end. Allah sent an angel to tell him to bring Iman. He says, too right, I'm going to bring Iman. Why don't you just tell your Lord that we'll settle the score here and now? Go on, tell him to bring his boys. Sayyidina Jibreel says, okay, we'll play that game. Can you imagine the guy who ruled the whole world? Can you imagine the size of his army? How much he must have possessed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. You want to play that game? The armies of Allah, Allah chose the weakest of his armies. Ba'udha, machar, mosquitoes. And Allah ordered these mosquitoes that you will eat from their flesh. They're animals and these people, but you will not touch him. And these mosquitoes came. Short period of time. And all that remained from his armies and his animals were bones and nothing else. And this guy still not learned his lesson. He says, told you so, they can't touch me. Look, still alive. And he went home and went to sleep. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered one little mosquito. Okay, go on, bite one of his lips. Just give him a little sting. He won't even feel it, just give him a little sting. And it bit him. And it became red and green and blue. And he's now running to all these doctors. And he's tried every medicine that he can get his hands on. And there is no cure. And the doctors advise, كَمَا لَهَا دَوَاءٌ إِلَّا أَن تَشُكَّهَا. There's no cure to this, you'll have to cut it. And he cuts his lip. Then Allah orders the very same mosquito now bite his upper lip. Small little thing comes to this big time and bites his upper lip. Again, he's tried every medicine there is, no cure. Runs to the same doctors, same answer. مَا لَهَا دَوَاءٌ إِلَّا أَن تَشُكَّهَا. Cut it. He cut it. Allah orders the very same mosquito not go bite his nose. Comes and bites his nose, the same story. No cure, you'll have to cut your nose. And he cuts his nose. Allah orders the same mosquito enter and sit on his brain inside his head. And eat from his brain every day a little, little. It enters and it begins to eat his brain. In the narration, in the historical narration, it says, فَكَانَ أَرْحَمُ النَّاسِ بِهِ أَلَّذِي يَدُقَّ فَوْكَ رَأْسِهِ مَسْتَطَعْ. The most generous and merciful and kind to him was the one that would crack his head as much as he could. Because when they cracked his head, he felt a bit ease. Can you imagine how big of a fool that this guy must have looked? Rules the entire world at his feet. And can you imagine this disgrace? And how big of a nutter he must have looked, where the guy's just cracking his own head. And he's getting people to crack his head. And this is what the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. And whoever thinks he's the man, this is the way Allah brings him down and disgraces him. Rules over the entire world. And I said the reality of man is such that if a fly was to take something from him, he would not be able to get it back. If it was to enter his nose or his ear, this big guy would come tumbling down, and this is the way Namrud came tumbling down. Thank you.